Welcome back to episode 9 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. This is Andrea, and I'm here with, of course,
Andrew.
And so this week, our episode is going to be probably a little bit shorter than the other ones, only because we had a lot going on, and I don't just want to come on here and babble on about nothing. You know, we really do put a lot of time and effort into the podcast. I know I hope you guys do see that and it reflects in the episodes, but, you know, I'm not sure it does because I can only see it from my point of view, you know, so you guys are the one consuming the content. And I just don't want to, like I said, come up here and just be jabberjaws for about nothing just to fill in space for like an hour or an hour and a half.
Yeah, we're not coming here and sing or talk about our weekend, like our personal weekends.
I mean, we do talk about our personal weekends and stuff
but,
like that.
Well, to an extent, but I'm talking about like we're not going to talk about work and how such and such and such and such. Just, you know, or how we help somebody out or something like that.
Well, I think, too, it's because they're, you know, we listen to other podcasts. So, in different styles and different subjects. And there's a podcast, and it, like I said, we're not here to talk down anybody. But there's a really popular podcast that has nothing to do with music or records that we listen to. And, you know, at the beginning, the podcast is like, wow. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of turned into, like, the episodes are an hour and a half or so. And pretty much they only talk about the actual subject maybe for 30 minutes, if that. And it's just like them talking about stuff that I don't really care about.
Their personal lives.
Yeah, their personal lives. And like I said, it's not a local podcast to hear. It's a very well-known podcast. And it's just, you know, I really want to make sure that we're always creating content for you guys, not ourselves. So I know you guys tune in more than likely to hear about, you know, records and stuff like that. Like I said, we might branch out a little bit and, you know, talk to artists and, you know, things like that. But I know you guys just don't want to sit here and hear us just jab on about stuff that you don't care about. So we're all about creating content for you guys. This is just a passion project for us. So I guess let's get the ball rolling here. So did you have any pickups?
No pickups for me this week at all.
No, I am a liar. I had some pickups, and they seriously amounted to $6.25, and it was about 6 records that I bought, all albums. I can't really name what. Oh, one of them was the, and I already have these ones, but every time I see them, especially if they're cheap, because I feel like they've gone up in price, the Disney Haunted House ones.
Yeah, the chills and. They're like
the just chills and thrills.
Yeah, like spooky sounds, basically.
Which, those are actually really relaxing to listen to. Like, to just put them on and listen to them.
Yeah, if you're into creepy stuff, that's definitely what you want.
Not even just creepy stuff. Like, it's just good back noise, background noise when you're cleaning, and it's just interesting.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry.
Nope, I got nothing to say.
Okay, so I just got, out of the $6 I spent, I got 2 of those and then 4 random Spanish language albums. They're straight up from Mexico. So had those and got them from a thrift store that, so I don't want to name the name because one time we were selling stuff on OfferUp.
Yeah, so I was selling something on OfferUp. Well, we weren't selling anything on OfferUp.
Actually, yeah, that is right.
We were
sorry.
Giving stuff away, and I said, hey, if you guys don't come get the stuff, I'm just going to donate it to, you know, fill in the blank.
The big, mighty, you know, thrift store all across the nation.
And so I immediately, you know, I got a whole bunch of people asking for stuff. And then I got one message from some guy that was like, you shouldn't donate to that. You should donate to Salvation Army. And I was like, okay, man. Well, you know, if you really want to donate to Salvation Army, you're more than welcome to come pick all this stuff up and go take it yourself because I don't have time.
Get your truck and your trailer and come to our alley and pick it up. Don't just tell us what to do. And he was super passionate. And I think the message was all in caps, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was all in caps.
But yeah, other than that, I think that's all we got this week.
Yeah, but that's all we got this week. Like I said, it was our daughter's birthday, so we kind of obviously focus on her, and we do all the time, but, you know, extra focus on her because her birthday, so we took her out, and she did some cool stuff that she wanted to do, and that was pretty much what our weekend consisted of, except today.
Yeah, today I was at Thrift Such As spinning from, like, 8 to 12. Really, it was super fucking busy today, like, packed as fuck. You know, played a lot of music, a couple people rolled through.
Christine and Lisa.
Christine and Lisa. The homie Jesse and his family rolled through. Say hello. So, you know, shout out to them for coming by.
Yeah, and Lisa actually got behind the turntables. And she did a really good job. It was only her second time. But, yeah, so like we said, of course, at Tres Leches, there's the open turntable format. Felix should be returning from his little vacation. So I'm not sure if we'll be there again on Sunday spinning. But we'll be back there Saturday nights. And if, like we said, if you're ever interested, because we don't run the tables at the cafe or anything like that. We're just involved because we go and spin on Saturday night. That's the main slot that I have. And but if you're like more, if you're interested in and you want more information on it, go ahead and DM us and we can give you more information, because it's a really, the owner of the cafe, ET, we interviewed him on here before, and he's just really about community and wanting to get people through there, you know, just as an encouraging thing to share music and stuff like that. So if you want more information on coming to the cafe, either just coming and saying, hey, I want to know when the open turntables are because I want to just go and listen to what people have to play, or I actually am interested in playing. And if you've never done it before, whoever's behind the turntables and manning them at that time, they're more than happy to show you what's going on. So don't be afraid to stop by, get a drink, say hi, listen to music, and have some good conversation. And that was pretty much our weekend. That was, usually we're consumed with a lot of stuff, but that was the only kind of like record involved thing that we did this weekend.
Yeah, we really didn't do much this weekend. Events coming up, right?
Events. Yes.
The only event I have is Party with the Purpose, Loose Joints with DJ Coco, our homie Coco. It says it's coming up this Friday. I'm not completely sure. I haven't seen any other ads, but it's on the Valley Bar website. Friday, August 10th, 10 p.m. I believe it's donations. It's all donation based.
And which is awesome because it's going, what is the cause, does it say?
This one is going to the Florence Immigrant and Refugee Rights Project.
Yeah, which is awesome. So if you want to go support a good cause, you want to dance around, have a good time, definitely the night to go out to Valley Bar and do that.
Yeah, so we'll be posting, and anything else that we see, that I see, I will repost in our story.
Yes, we'll be reposting. And like I said, I'll try to be more active in posting events in the story, because I know, it's because I don't want to flood the actual, you know, our postings with everything. It's like all the time. So the story is a good way for us to put the information out there for you guys so you can see it. So usually if we're going to post an event in our actual feed and not just in the story, it's something that we are going to be doing or have coming up. So, and my event that I wanted to highlight was the group Las Choyas Peligrosas. They're going to be playing Valley Bar next Saturday, August 11th. You can get tickets in advance, save some cash for $10, or you can also do it the day of if they're not sold out for $15. So doors open at 7 and the show ends at 9:30, and they're actually doing two sets. And from what I read, that they're not going to have much shows, I guess, that much this year. So this is going to be an important one if you do want to catch them and see them play. So we've seen them one time, right? It was at the Flying Burrito Festival.
Yeah, we've seen them live there. We just so happened to walk up and they were playing. It was a really good show.
Yeah, it was a really cool show. So how would you just really describe their sound?
It's like a mix. It's like a fusion, I would think, more or less. But it's all women. I think that's what's really neat about it. They all play their own instruments and all that stuff. I can't really say what type of music they sing, but it's more traditional, you know, Mexican style music, or what, like I said, it's like a fusion of like newer styles with like classical style. It's harder for me to say.
Yeah, I'm not good at that stuff either. Like, I'm so bad at stuffing things into a genre unless it's like clear cut. Like, this is rock or this is rap. But then when it starts breaking down, so it is music in Spanish, but it's beautiful. It's awesome. The crowd's, you know, pretty diverse, and they have a good different songs, like different kind of like different sounds going on. So if you want to get just get out there and listen to something great that's maybe different that you haven't heard of, it's definitely a night to go and experience that.
Yeah, check them out.
So next, so we always do the segment of the top five of, so if we don't have a guest, it's like today's the ninth episode, so it'd be just because it makes no sense, but it makes sense to us. We're doing the top five songs usually of a year that ends in the number of the episode that we're doing. So Andrew is going to read them off to me. So is it a top five?
We're actually going to do a top 10 today since, again, so the reason why we're saying it's going to be a shorter episode is we did have an interview planned. You know, people have lives. We can't, you know, they can't always come out. So, you know, we have to figure stuff out in order to put out content because, you know,
we... A little improvisation.
Improvisation, so we do what we have to do. So this week, since the year I picked is so good, I have to do a top 10.
Oh, gosh. And I don't know... Because before we would read them back and forth and like I would do a song, he does a song. But the way we're pretty much going to do them now is that he's going to read off whatever the year he picks. It's for this week and whatever the year he picks. And then, I'm hearing it just the same as you are.
So this year I picked this week, August of 1999.
I knew you were going to pick 1999.
Well, 1989 wasn't very good. Neither was 1979, and neither was 1969. So, 1999.
Okay, go on.
So, number 10, LFO Summer Girls. I don't remember that song.
He talks about Abercrombie and Fitch and Chinese food.
Yeah, it's bad.
I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I think he says Chinese food makes
me sick. I don't know. It's bad. Bad enough. Number 9. 702, Where My Girl's At.
Of course. Okay, I love that video. And I remember, so they have like this eye makeup on their eyes and it's like black stripes. And I always thought it was so cool and I wanted to do that. And I still have not done it, but I couldn't pull it off, so I won't do it. But love that video, classic song.
Number 8, Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way. I know how much you love
Snoozer,
that song.
Snoozer, go on.
Everyone's favorite band, Smash Mouth, All Star. God, that fucking song.
I can't say I ever actually liked that song, and I still don't, but it's a good pop song. Like, I can look at it from not just my point of view. It's not for me. I'm not the audience for that, but it's a good pop song. Like, it's still, people still know it today. I'm not a fan of the band or that song, but yeah.
I associate that song with Shrek.
Okay, I just want to say before you keep talking... Is Fly by Sugar Ray on this stupid as or Sugar Ray somewhere on here?
Sugar Ray is not on this list.
And I like how they called the guy. I can't even remember his name. Mark McGrath. Yeah, I guess I do remember his name. But they call him Sugar Ray. And that's not his name. He's just a damn singer.
Number 6 was Last Kiss by Pearl Jam.
Don't know that song.
Don't know that
but
song.
But I'm not a Pearl Jam hater.
I'm not a Pearl Jam hater. Your Girl, number 5. Jennifer Lopez, If You Have My Love.
Moving on. Not talking about that.
Oh, number 4, Wild Wild West, Will Smith featuring Drew Hill and Cool Me Do.
It's
D. Cool Me
cool
D.
Mo D.
Oh,
how
see?
Dare you not know? I've played
awful.
That song for you.
Oh, so my bad.
I don't know how many times I would try to incorporate that song into a set, and he's just like, nah, I'm not feeling it. I'm like, you know
not
what? I am feeling
ball,
it.
Ball bus.
Because it's a Cool Mo D is an old school dude, and I know it's because. I got some of my little education from my Uncle James and my cousin Joey. So I know about, you know, the basic classics of them. And I know, I don't think you had anybody around you teaching you that stuff. Like the like the 80s rap, you know?
I know what Cool Mo D is. And
then what did you say his name?
Listen, we're not getting into
it.
This isn't grammar school,
it's
okay?
Because he can't read, remember? Because he can't read.
Yeah, back to the last episode, I can't fucking read.
Or
so
you
shut
don't
up.
Read.
I
it's
don't
like
read.
You can't, you don't read.
Anyways, moving on. Casey and JoJo, Tell Me It's Real at number 3.
Tell me it's real, this feeling that
yeah,
feel.
That song.
I love that song.
That's a good song. Destiny's Child, Bills, Bills, Bills.
That's a good song. I love Destiny's Child. Of course, it had Beyonce on it.
And number 1. Genie in a Bottle, Christina Aguilera.
Pre-Xtina.
Before she was dirty.
Before she was dirty. And I liked that song. And I remember, so when they first introduced Christina Aguilera, because I actually did hear her on the radio first. I remember listening, I have no clue what radio station I was listening to, but I was listening to the radio. And they were like, they played the song. And I'm like, I guess the song sounds kind of interesting. Because, you know, at the time... It just didn't sound like other songs that were on the radio, I guess you could say. And then they said her name. They're like, it's from Christina Aguilera. And then I saw her and I was like, she's blonde and blue. I was like, oh, I was a little sad because I thought she was going to be brown hair, brown eyes like me. But it's okay. I still love you. And Christina's my girl, even though she's kind of weird and she does some crazy stuff. And her latest album, if you haven't listened to it, I've talked about it on here before. Go give it a listen. It's good. And I wasn't feeling Lotus. I like all of her albums except the one before this one. But she creates some good stuff. So,
but yeah, on that subject right there, this week we're talking about content.
Can a band or an artist really create infinite content that's actually good that you want?
So this all started because we had posted the newest Arcade Fire album on our Instagram.
Yeah, it's about a year old. It's a little over a year old because it was released in July 2018. So when the album first dropped,
July 2018?
Excuse me, 2017.
Okay,
my
I
bad.
Was gonna make sure.
My bad. It's not even, it's not like it's the last time where we're recording at midnight. I'm just saying stuff wrong. I'm not like late night delirious. I'm just not thinking right now. So anyhow, in July 2017, they released Everything Now. So I was like, you know what? I really want to listen to it. I like all of Arcade Fire's material. Gave it a listen. And I was like, wow, like I was feeling the album. I like how it had disco-y elements to it. I just loved everything about it. I can't say it's like the most perfect album of Arcade Fire's or the most perfect album on earth, but it's a really, really good album. So I was shocked when I was reading at the time when I was reading the reviews on the album, because I was just like, man, everyone's just trashing this album and picking it apart. And I just could not believe I was just like, am I hearing just something completely different? It felt really weird. So it's been about a year. I posted the record. So when I posted the record, I did go and try to see if, like, you know what? Because sometimes people will revisit things, you know, like a year later or so. And pretty much all the articles I was finding that kind of did revisit the album, they were all saying still the same things that they were a year ago. But I really think that's an album that in hindsight, like give it a more time away, not just a year, that people are going to look back and say, you know what? That really wasn't as bad as I thought. And people were saying it's formulaic and all this other stuff. I'm like, it's not, it because people are mad because it's not what they want. It's not what they expect from Arcade Fire. So like I said in the post, it has that big anthem that We Don't Deserve Love, because it's like that slow and like it's really big and it's a grand song and it's like, oh, all these feelings and stuff. But I mean, you know, they've given us 5 solid albums. What more do you want from them? Like, to me, like some bands only put out 1 good album, 2, maybe 3 max, and then they just kind of fall off from there. But they've given you 5 good albums. I just don't understand what people were expecting on this album.
So, yeah, I mean, you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't. Because, you know, when you're a solid band, you create a good album, you keep creating good albums, and then you're like, you know what, we're going to change it up. And then people are like, oh, man, this album fucking is garbage in comparison to their other albums. And then they're like, well, then you have the other bands who just keep making the same music, and everyone's like, you know, it's just the same ass album as
like
last time.
Like Maroon 5.
Yeah, the same boring ass album. So it's like, well, you know, well, what the fuck do you want us to make? You know, I think artists should have the freedom to make what they want. And, you know, everyone's a critic when it comes to certain music. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah, so like an album off the top of my head that I can really think that at the time I did like, and I liked, especially there were certain tracks that I loved more than others, but I complained a lot when the album came out, and I was like, you know what, I like this album, but it's not that great, and it just feels so out of place. And it's just because I wasn't ready for it. Like, I enjoyed certain tracks, but just me personally, I just wasn't ready for that. And this album is December Underground by AFI. And you felt the same exact way. Like, you actually, he liked it. He had more positive things to say than I did. And Andrew's he was like the hardcore AFI fan. But I just, at the time, I now, because it's been over 10 years it's been released. And, you know, we have the LP. I appreciate it more now, though, than I did when it first came out.
So there's a lot of people, you know, just a quick, you know, thing on AFI. If you don't know who AFI is, they're like, they were like a, they started off as a punk band on Nitro and East Bay Hardcore, all this other shit. And then they released Shut Your Mouth and Open Your Eyes, which is like where I feel like they got the more signature sound. And they released Black Sails in the Sunset, which is like their album. That one was the shit. I don't give a fuck who you are or any AFI yes. album. That one's the shit.
All the true AFI fans say
Black Sails in the Sunset. So yes. they released that, and then a few other albums, and then they
don't skip over. Give them a shout out to the albums. Yeah.
Okay, so then they released Art of Drowning. They had a couple of EPs and LP, some shit in between, but we're not gonna get into that. Art of Drowning was really good, and then when we were in high school, towards the end of our high school, I think it was like 2002 it came out, 2003-ish. I can't remember. I don't.
Yeah, 02 or 03.
Something. They released Sing the Sorrow. That is border, you know, that album was front to back really good. It was that was their first album on a huge record label. And
but what was the feedback from some of the hardcore fans?
A lot of the hardcore fans didn't like it, but I felt that they changed their sound and they evolved. But after that album, on to the next thing, because I read an article which kind of fits all these little tidbits. They became huge after that album. Obviously, they were on a major record label, everything else, and then they changed as a band. Like,
well, because the people, the thing was, the consensus that I would always hear at the time when Sing the Sorrow came out was, "Oh, AFI sold out," and not even because they went to a major label, but the sound on Sing the Sorrow was a lot more polished than their previous efforts, and. It really turned people off to wanting to listen. And I think, too, because their audience was kind of at that age. A lot of their audience was similar to the age we were at the time, which was about, like, 16, 17, 18. And people just weren't. Some of the audience just wasn't ready for that more mature sound. But I remember you really stressing to me. You're like, no. You're like, I understand people's gripes, but you're like, Sing the Sorrow is an awesome record. You're like, it has some like house elements to one of the songs, and when I listened, I had listened to it before and I liked it, but when I listened to it after I spoke to him about it, it changed the way that I viewed the record and the way I was consuming it and listened to it, because he was being probably more objective than I was on my initial listen. So when I was able to hear him out on, and you know, him to say his piece on the record, because he's like hardcore AFI guy, it changed the way that I listened to that record. And I feel like that's kind of what was happening with the Arcade Fire, with everything now, is that everyone went and just read these reviews and they're just like, oh, okay, yeah. They're listening to it only with that frame of mind of the reviews. So they're listening to it with that negative intent in their ear. And sometimes it's hard to be objective, because... And I think that's what really I learned from that experience, listening to Sing the Sorrow on my own and then re-listening to it after I had spoken to you, was just to be a little bit more open-minded when you're listening to things, even if the band has gone to a major label or even if they have changed their sound up, because they can't be creating, if I can say, punk rock or like, you know, that unpolished rock forever. It's like they evolved. There's nothing wrong with that. It's totally okay. And with December Underground, it was even, you know.
Yeah, so they released December Underground, and then I had my gripes with it. You had your gripes with it as well. But after that album's when I noticed it the most, that when they changed, like, everything about them changed, the way they sound, the way they look. Just, obviously, the front man obviously is the main person who kind of is the face of the band. He changed a lot. The sound,
Davey Havoc.
Yeah, the sound changed and everything like that. So, like, being extremely successful, extremely mainstream at that point when they released Crash Love, which is like the album I don't talk about because it's awful.
We just pretend like it doesn't exist.
Up to like, you know, they have like the Blood album, which everything after the Crash Love, it was alright. I mean, it's not groundbreaking, but it was alright.
Yeah, you can still jam out to them.
You know, I can't expect them to continue making amazing albums. I did, which is funny. We were talking about those albums, and I Google searched like what people thought were like the best albums of all the albums that we've had, and like the common consensus was that, you know, the newest album, the Blood album, was really good and shit like that. But I feel like that's not true. I mean, they wouldn't have this sound, their signature sound or whatever it is, without those early albums. Granted, they can't, you know, the early albums I really never really got into. A lot of people did, but it just wasn't my... I came into them during Art of Drowning. So, that time period. So, that's what I associate them with, that sound. So, when they changed, it was, you know, it was... I just didn't like it. I don't really... Their newer sound, it's cool. It's whatever. But that's one of those things that, you know, that's just my opinion.
Well, and maybe, too, it's just you're not their... audience anymore.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not their audience anymore, and again, there is a lot of people on the internet that have a lot of opinions, and you know, that's the thing. Everyone has something to say about it, but they're going to keep on doing and creating what they want to do, and it's my choice to listen. So I always give them a listen because I'm a faithful fan, but you know, their new albums aren't as good as their albums, I'm not going to lie, but I can't expect them to continuously put out great stuff like they used to.
Yeah, because not only do you change, so you view it differently, but so does the band, because they're just all individuals, and they're human beings. And I still like AFI. I still would say, you know, if somebody's like, oh, what kind of bands you like, that would be a band I would name, even though I think we're on the same page, but we both think that Crash Love is just complete trash. And I think there was maybe one song right on there.
I don't know.
I think I was trying to, like, find something... something positive, and I'm like, I think this is one song that I actually like. But and then there's just bands out there too, like, so one of my still my favorite bands of all time is this band named Thursday. So if anyone you listening out there was into like the post hardcore and all it, that's what they were grouped under at the time, and this was around 2001 2002,
yeah, around that area.
Yeah, so their big song that everybody knows was called Understanding in a Car Crash. So I felt like the band just kept getting better with every single album. They had Full Collapse, then they had War All the Time, and then after War All the Time, I want to say, I can't remember off the top of my head right now, it was
City
by the Light Divided, and they're like my favorite band. I can't remember their album names right now. And then Common Existence, and then No Devolution. But they, to me, I stayed with the band and I kept listening to them, and they kept evolving. And one of the complaints that what people would say is like, we want Full Collapse 2.0, or we want War All the Time 2.0. And it's like, you know, that band kept changing. And especially that last album, you said it wasn't bad, but it just wasn't for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. Bands still are good. A lot of people are like, well, it's not as good as fill in the blank. And I think that that's one of the biggest gripes with any type of music, whether it be pop, rock, metal, whatever. They're like, oh, it's just not, they're just not as good as they used to be. It's like, well, no, they're actually still really good. Your taste just might be a little bit different. And they're not appeal, like you had said, you might not be their audience anymore. They're still making music for their audience, and your musical taste might have changed, or, you know, have gotten older, and maybe you're into something else, but you're still a faithful listener, so you go back onto it. But that's not necessarily true for everybody. You know, like you said, you loved everything that they had put out. Myself, I thought it was okay. After A City Light Divided, I thought it was okay. It was pretty good, but yeah, not.
You're like, it was, I wouldn't say it's bad, but I wouldn't actively listen to it myself.
Yeah, so not saying they're still a good band, but, you know.
Yeah, whereas me, I'm like, no, it's all good and amazing. And it's not that I have the rose-colored glasses, because I do these things too, where at times I'll go and listen to an artist or a band's full discography, and I'll make myself sit through it and be so I can actually listen to the progression of the band. You know, I use like Google Play Music and whatnot. And like there was a album that I was listening to, so I tried to do Lady Gaga one day. And this is like when Joanne came out. I'm like, okay, listen from beginning to end. And I just could not get through Joanne. I just did not like it, was not feeling it. I was like, you know what, this album, I guess I'm just, it's not for me. And I wouldn't even say it's bad. It's just the album isn't for me. Or there's a popular artist, I guess you can say, like, okay, Drake. So with Drake, I personally feel his personal peak best album, and maybe people might say that he is better, like he's a better lyricist on other albums after this, but they don't even write his own shit anyways, and that's a whole nother subject for another day. But it's Take Care. To me, he's never gonna do better than that. That album, Take Care, it was really good. It was a good mixture of, you know, some popular rap with like club songs. And then after that, I felt like, and Drake's always been kind of cheesy, cornball-y, but after that, it was just kind of like he wanted everyone to like, oh, he just wanted to be so serious. And I'm just like, you're not a lyricist. You're not an MC. Like, you're a pop rapper, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's your lane. Stay in your lane.
Yeah, like his big, like I said, you haven't listened to his newest album. I have. There's some pretty good tracks on there. Nothing, like I said, to call home about. But his biggest track is the, In Your Feelings, I think it's called.
Yeah, the Kiki one.
The Kiki song. That song's not that good.
It's In My Feelings.
In My Feelings. It's not that good of a song. And that's like his big hit right now. It's like, that song's not that good. That's not the best, by far, not the best song on the album. And that's his like single, which I understand that's a single, but it's not that good. So you would think that he'd be like, oh, you know, want to really push something better. But like, you know, that's the song that he's standing with. And, you know, that's the song right now of the like last couple of weeks, I suppose.
I don't even know if it's even the song. It's just, it's created a meme and an interactive meme, I guess you can say. So, you know, of course he's going to go with it, which is smart move on his, with his team and for him on that. And another artist, I guess you can say, that is a popular artist would be Kanye West. Personally, I feel Kanye, I liked My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and I see why everybody is so, that's like their favorite album. And I did listen to it, but I felt like 808s and Heartbreaks was like his masterpiece. And then after that, like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was good, and everything after that is just complete trash, like garbage.
Yeah, I think every artist peaks, but there's some artists that, you know, just as well as I do, they have always sucked and they were never good,
like Smash Mouth.
Like Smash Mouth, yet they had like fame, and they had, you know, their first couple albums were actually pretty good. I mean, they were, you know, they were all right, but they had like this huge popular base, and they're still hugely popular, and they're just like not that good. And this, in the art again, this article I was reading, the Weezer was one of them. I love Weezer.
The early Weezer. Weezer's like, I always say, like, that's the sad boy music when you're like, nobody understands me, or ever do you understand me.
Yeah, so in this one, they talked about how, like, the Blue Album, then Pinkerton, and then the Green Album. Those are the three albums I remember. After that, I didn't listen to anything Weezer released, and I just hear on the radio. I think I listened to the Red Album through, but again, nothing good
to write home about.
Nothing, and, you know, I may listen to the whole album through because they were a band I used to listen to when I was younger, but it's just like, they're just not that good. Like Green Day has a huge following. They're, you know, their first albums are good, but you know, Homeboy sings with like a fake British accent the whole entire time.
A lot of bands in that genre sing with that weird fake accent thing.
You mean it's just one of those things. And then another band I can think of is Rancid. We both agree on.
It's a Rancid.
Yeah, sure. Their name describes them. They have like, you know, I remember when my brother and I were going to shop for CDs. He's like, well, I hear this is their best album. So he bought their best CD.
Is it that Something Wolves?
Yeah, whatever, the Outcome Wolves.
Yeah.
He bought it and we listened to it fully because we were like at Shirts and Things in Mesa and drove all the way back over here so we can listen to the whole fucking thing. And it wasn't really good. We tried to like it. I was like, I just can't get into him.
Yeah, but it's cool that back in the day you were able to take that chance and be like, I have to buy the CD to figure out if I really liked it. Because then you really were listening to it. It wasn't like you could just play it on your phone and you're like, eh, do I like this? Eh. You know what I mean? You listen to it in a different way because you spent money on it.
Yeah, so you really, really want to like it. there's a lot of artists like that that are, you know, you really, really want to like, and like, I really want to like this album because it's super popular and it's getting rave reviews and all this other shit, but I just can't get into it. I mean, I think what Travis Scott just came out with his new album.
Yeah, but I didn't listen.
I didn't listen to it, but I've heard that it's the same shit that he always releases, just super polished. And I mean, that's cool. I might listen to it while I'm at work, but that's about it. I'm not gonna go out of my way to talk about, you know, how great it is.
Yeah, like another artist would be Christina Aguilera. So she had her debut, which, you know, I can still listen to some songs on it. Her, you know, she had good vocal range and all the other stuff. Then her second album, of course, was Stripped, which set the bar really high. I love that album, so listen to that one. After that, it's Back to Basics. It's a good album. And then Bionic came out, which completely bombed. But it really was ahead of its time, and there was all this drama between Lady Gaga's camp and Christina Aguilera's. And Lady Gaga's camp at the time, because she was an up-and-comer, but she knew she had to kind of, like, really put it out there. So she kind of sabotaged Christina Aguilera's whole album release. And this is when the internet, you know, like social media and that stuff, it was still like a new tool, and she was on it. So she knew, since she was a more up and coming artist, this is something that a platform I really need to utilize to promote myself. And Christina's team hadn't really caught on to that yet. A lot of the bigger artists hadn't really caught on to it. It was these up-and-coming artists like MIA at the time and stuff like that that were really, really utilizing things like MySpace and, what is it, Pure Volume, which was like SoundCloud before SoundCloud in a way, all that stuff. So, but she just put the things out there, and she was, you know, she had her little friends on gossip blogs put things, and they're like, oh, it looks like Christina's trying to copy Gaga and stuff. And it got her name out there, sabotaged Christina, so she didn't have to worry about her as competition. So Bionic, which was the album that Christina had released, was ahead of its time. It was really good, but it just went nowhere. And then she released Lotus, which is trash, and it's the crash love of her discography. And then her latest effort, which is Liberation, which came out this year, which is really, really, I would say it's on par with Stripped. It's even better almost. It's really good. But I could have just been like, you know what? I'm not going to listen to Liberation because I couldn't even sit through Lotus. But I always try to give everything at least one listen. Even if it's a group, I've never liked anything from them. I'm like, you know what? I try to really expand my horizons and really put myself out there to be open to listening to things. And that's another thing, is having that open ear. Like when there's a band called City in Color, and a lot of people know who Brand New is. So I was listening to Brand New and City in Color, and especially Devil and God. It was the time when the Devil and God Raging Inside Me had come out, and Andrew did not like it. He was just like, this is stupid. And he had a grudge against Brand New. And I don't know, he for some reason just didn't like City in Color. But then it was almost like a year later, and he was like, wow, those albums are really good. But like, what changed your mind?
I just went into it with an open mind. Up until probably about, I don't know, let's say 8 or 9 years ago, I was really close-minded. I kind of just listened to the same. I still listen to a lot of the same things I've always listened to, but I try to always give everything a chance. Everything that comes out, I try to give it a good listen. From women artists to hip-hop artists I've never heard of. The only thing I really don't touch right now is like SoundCloud rappers, because I just can't get into that.
It's just or
country music. But, you know, so I went, going back to that, I went and listened to all that stuff, and it was really, really good. And, you know, really quality. You know, that Brand New record was really well put together. City in Color, you know.
Which is now one of your favorite.
Yeah, he's just an amazing songwriter, and, you know, it was just really, really, really good stuff. You know, that's when it all comes down to it at the end. Making like quality music every time is really, really hard, and you have to be really dedicated to it in order to continuously making quality music. And I think that Arcade Fire album was good. I wasn't a big fan of Reflector, I'm not gonna lie, but I enjoyed this album more than I did Reflector. But a lot of people were like, oh no, you know, this album's just not for me. But it's not, it wasn't made for you.
Maybe it isn't for you.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't made for you. It was made for them. They made their music for them. And that's something that I think that a lot of people don't associate with that, you know, when an artist makes something, they make it for themselves and they put it out there. It's just like when we're out spinning music wherever we're at. I remember my uncle had told you and...
Yeah, your Uncle Jeff, because he's a DJ. He's an actual DJ.
Yeah, he said, you know, always play music for yourself. Don't play for anybody else. You go out there and play what you want.
He's like, you have to be mindful of your audience and your venue, but when you play your sets, don't just specifically be like, what do they want me to play? Know the vibe and work with that and let yourself reflect in the set that you're playing.
Yeah, which is funny because we just seen that meme on our Instagram, which was what people used to do when they used to build DJ sets as opposed to what people do now. And, you know, I'm sure if you're on Instagram, you might have seen it if you follow certain DJs. Maybe we'll repost it, maybe we won't. I'm not really sure. But there's a big difference between, you know, digital and actual carrying physical music. We on this podcast, we don't hate on either format.
Yeah, it's all preference.
It's all preference, but it's a lot different than it used to be, I suppose. Everyone I've ever talked to who used to DJ back in the day say that DJing nowadays is a little bit different. Not that it's bad, but it's just a little bit different. But sorry, back. So keeping your mind open to, like, new music and artist new music. I understand some people just can't get into it, and that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. I can't get into a lot of indie rock. Not that it's bad. It's not my deal.
But I think it too, like, that's always been one of my fears of just listening to new stuff and to literally every single thing saying, like, I don't like that. I don't get it. And I feel like... And it has nothing even to do with age. It's just like, I know there's so much stuff out there. There has to be something new that I like. I can't just, because I do see a lot of people like that where they kind of just get stuck. Like, they'll listen to music and then when they hit about like 23 to 25, they listen to what they listen to and that's it. They won't listen to anything new. Or if they do hear anything new, they're just like, oh, that's complete garbage. That's complete trash. That's horrible. That's awful. And it's like, I'm not saying, you know, like we were saying, SoundCloud rappers. I have tons of opinion on SoundCloud rappers. I'm not going to get into them, but I'm clearly not their audience. I totally don't get them at all.
Yeah, and so, you know, which is funny because the guest we were supposed to have on this week was supposed to talk about that. But, you know, what? It's cool.
Yeah,
no red chili for him.
No red chili for
her.
It's okay.
Or them.
No
whatever.
Worries.
Anyways, they'll come on when they can. But... You know, that's, again, they're not making music for us. They're making music for their audience, whoever they may be. It's obviously not us.
Yeah, obviously not us. And it's, you always, like we said, you have to keep that in mind when you're listening. If you don't listen to something, like with the Arcade Fire album, people are like, this is the worst album ever. I'm like, I think calling it the worst, that carries a lot of weight, that word worst. It's like, you can say it's my least favorite album, or... I just feel like it just didn't grab me like the other one, so I would kind of put it towards the bottom. But to say it's like this trash album that no one should listen to, which is pretty much what all the reviews say online, is, to me, it's crazy. I'm just like, it's bizarre to me. I just don't understand, because it's just like when you even watch movies, like, okay, that Transformers movie. Do you know what you're getting when you're going to go watch that? You're going to get explosions, exciting stuff. Chicks, you know, in more revealing outfits, maybe. But
you're
it's like
a Michael Bay movie. Basically.
It's a Michael Bay movie, and maybe I'm not the audience, so I have to view it in mind with, this is a Michael Bay movie. I can't think that I'm gonna go see some Oscar-worthy picture when I'm gonna go watch the damn Transformers. No, but it's gonna keep me entertained. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, we had a couple comments on that post.
Thank you to everybody.
Thank you who were doing comment, because
always feel free to comment on anything we post.
Yeah, we probably have not got back to you on that, but we will.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I wasn't sure. I know we were meaning to, but, you know, it's whatever. But, you know, we really appreciate those comments. But hearing differences of opinion, it was really nice to see. Like, you're like, well, you know, this isn't my favorite album, but I can see why. And they named like actual reasons why they didn't like it, and that's fine. But just to say this is complete trash, garbage, you know, whatever, that's a little much. But one thing, and I know that this is something we were talking about earlier. Every person I've ever talked to that is into this particular band has said that from one this album on has been complete trash. Every person I've ever talked to. And that band is Metallica.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
So I'm not a big Metallica person. I've never, you know, it just wasn't my... I've listened
Cup
to
of tea.
Yeah, I've listened to their albums. They're all really good. I've just never really gotten into that genre, which would be, I guess, metal.
Metallica was metal. I was actually really into Metallica and metal like that because my brother and my cousin were into metal, so they kind of got me into that. But yes, there is a clear defining line there.
So, you know, I'll just go through. Let me go through the list. 83 was Kill 'Em All. In 84 was Ride the Lightning, both really good albums. Master of Puppets, 86, and Justice for All, 88, and then Metallica, 91, which is like their defining. That's when they had like all
the Sandman is
that yeah, all the tracks are on that fucking on that album. Then in 96, they released Load. Every person that I don't know anybody personally that likes Load, and then they released Reload, which I hear is even worse. And then they released Saint Anger, which I heard was
that's something that every Metallica fan would agree on. Like there's some mixed feelings on Load and Reload with some people. It was like, well, you know, they try to defend it, but Saint Anger is literally where they draw the line.
And then there's Death Magnet and Hardwired to Self-Destruct. I haven't listened to any of those albums. I listened to Metallica and that's where I stopped.
That's the same here.
Yeah. So, would I like Load if I listened to it? From what I hear, I probably won't. Am I going to go out of my way to listen to it? Again, Metallica isn't necessarily my biggest cup of tea, but maybe if I'm like, you know what, I'm at work and I want to hear something a little more upbeat, perfect thing to listen to. Sorry. But, you know, those are the things that, again, you can't expect a band. They change their sound, and they can't continuously make
and they
quality
cha-
music.
They changed as people. Like, when Metallica was releasing, like, in everything prior to self-titled, a lot of that stuff, too, they were almost like sort of an indie band in a way, and they were creating a lot of waves in the music scene. So this is from what I remember. Someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but they were creating a big splash, and they were making all this money and selling out all these venues without promo on MTV and things like that, because Metallica was kind of considered a little too wild at that time for MTV, because they were, you know, kind of like this metal and they had long hair. And I know like glam metal was a thing, but they were not pretty and polished like a lot of the glam metal dudes.
Yeah, I mean, they were on the record label. It says it was on Megaforce. Not really sure. They had a really, really good, you know, they had a lot of popularity. But they weren't on the charts, the Billboard charts.
Yeah, because like I said, they were more of like an indie band, but they were selling out venues, and so they were making a splash. But it was kind of this thing where they're like, they're not pretty enough. They're a little too grimy, you know. They're in their own lane, but they were fine. So, but the thing is, you have to think, you know, eventually they signed to a major, their lifestyle changes, all this other stuff. So naturally, the content they're creating is going to change. Whether you like that or not is a completely, you know, it's up to you, obviously, whether you like it or not, because you're going to form your opinion. But they change as people. And it's like, going back to the Arcade Fire album, I can appreciate it. You know, these people are millionaires. They're making money. And I think for the newer experiences that they're living, they're still creating great content. They're still putting stuff out there. I can tell they still care about what they're releasing. And another big collaborator on that Everything Now album was, I can't say his last name because I can't pronounce it correctly, was Thomas Bangalter. I can't say it right, from Daft Punk. And you can hear that. You can hear that on the album. You know, I'm a huge fan of Daft Punk. I love so much of their stuff, and maybe that's why I like Everything Now, because I've liked pretty much everything that Daft Punk has put out.
Which is funny, because you mentioned Daft Punk, is because when I was just like doing some research, just reading about different people's opinions on different albums, Daft Punk was one of the bands that
people were talking mad shit
about. Random Access
Memories.
It had
Disco Eva.
It wasn't, again, wasn't my favorite album of theirs.
It wasn't the strongest, but it wasn't bad.
No, it was a good album. You know, people... you have to appreciate what the people are doing. They cannot continuously keep making the same album over and over again. And
Daft Punk will never make another Discovery. Yeah. Ever again. And that's okay.
Discovery is amazing. It's their best, by my opinion, it's probably their best album. But you can't, you're not comparing apples to apples. Same band, different sound, different era, different time. Just things change over. People evolve, like you said, success. And some people, sometimes success changes a band for the better, and sometimes it changes bands for the worse. Like Taking Back Sunday, I think success changes them for the worst.
Yeah, I mean, because...
like major mainstream success.
Okay, so Taking Back Sunday had Tell All Your Friends Where You Want to Be Louder Now. So the last album I fully enjoyed, and some people... they feel like Where You Want to Be is actually the definitive album. But kind of like with AFI, I've always said that Sing the Sorrow was their like peak AFI, and not necessarily because it's the best album, but it's what they were trying to achieve on all the other albums. It was polished. It was beautiful. It was created for everybody and not just one audience. That's what happened with Louder Now. So Louder Now was polished. It was, I believe, on a major. And it knew their audience, and it just went for it, and it, like, struck gold. Not that it's their best, because I think Where You Want to Be is actually their best. But Louder Now is still good. Everything after that?
Eh.
Yeah, eh.
Eh, I couldn't get into it. But like I said, every article I was reading about it, like, they threw around Jay-Z, all these, like, major artists. And they're just like, you know, it's just, they're just not what they used to be. It's like, well, yeah, they don't... Jay-Z is a fucking goddamn almost, he's a multimillionaire. Why does he need to keep releasing music? His wife is a multimillionaire. She's continuously releasing music. And people have the expectations. Like, a couple of years ago, it was 444. I mean, which is funny because we're one of the podcasts that we listen to. They talked about 444. And, like, did we actually need that record?
No, I don't think we did.
And so, and that's another thing, and that's a good point. Shout out to them.
It was the Sneak Diss.
Yeah. They said, it's not necessarily that we don't like the record, but do we need this record? And that can go for any artist that is hugely successful. And hugely successful artists don't need to release music anymore because they have already done what they needed to do to be successful.
To me, it's like you look at someone, and I'm going to bring it up, the big V, Beyonce, okay? So with Beyonce, she was with Destiny's Child, obviously. She branched out. She had her debut solo album, and then she released B-Day. And then after B-Day, it was Sasha Fierce, which was the worst album she ever released. The worst Beyonce album, including the Destiny's Child album, including the actual first Destiny's Child album, which, yes, I did have and actually listen to, because I have been pretty much listening to Beyonce since I was probably like 13 years old. But some hardcore fans say the peak Beyonce album, the perfect one, is B-Day. I personally feel that it's actually 4. That album was so perfect and it was beautiful. Are her efforts after that a little more calculated, a little more polished, and is there probably better production stuff on it? Sure. But I felt like 4 was really Beyonce at her best. I do enjoy the other albums. I love Lemonade. I love Self-Titled. I have nothing bad to say about them. I just personally prefer 4. And I feel like it's really was she shined the most. That was her and not just necessarily the producers. Sasha Fierce, that's the one that had Single Ladies on it, that album. I didn't like the album at all. I just thought it was the worst album, and it was actually her most popular album. But and I didn't dislike it because it was popular, because I like stuff that's popular all the time. Beyonce is a very popular artist. But you can still grow as an artist even if you change and you make money. But to me, it shows that she actually puts efforts into her concepts and into what she wants to put out there because she cares. And some of these artists, you know, she doesn't have to collect another paycheck in her life, but for whatever reason, she cares about the content she's putting out there, so she's making a conscious effort to put out content that people will actually enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's still groups and artists out there who were hugely successful and they continuously release music to still make money because they were hugely successful and they, you know, they thought they were going to be popular for the rest of their lives. And they didn't, you know, they just didn't do what they were going to do. I mean, What, Panic at the Disco was one of the, like, a new band. This is the band that's, like, supposed to be.
It's not new.
It's not a new band, but, like, they had their like, breakthrough album, and it was wildly.
Which is their debut feature.
Yeah, which was wildly successful. After that, I didn't listen to anything by them, really, because I really didn't think it was that good. But supposedly this year, I don't know if it has released, but they're supposed to release an album this year that's supposed to be mind-blowing or some shit. I don't know, but that's one of those things where I'll give it a listen, and then I'll form my own opinion. I'm not going to go and blast it all over the internet for people to read. But, you know, I think everyone should be able to form their own opinions based off of what their preference is. And if you're going to tell somebody, just like the commenters we had, do it,
like. But to give a reason why. Don't just be like, I just don't like it. It's like, give a reason why you don't like it. Explain. I'm not saying you have to go in depth, because I don't know nothing about music theory. Okay. I'm not a musician, so I can't talk in that side of it. I mean, but just explain. Did it make you feel bad? Did it make you feel nothing? You want to feel something when you listen to your music? Explain why you don't like it. Don't just be like, oh, it's popular, or oh, this and that. Because Panic at the Disco actually has a pretty solid discography. There's only one remaining original member left, which is the lead singer, Brendan Urie. And that guy, he really cares about the content that is being put out behind the band's name, Panic at the Disco, and he really cares about his songwriting and stuff like that. And I've read some articles on him, and one in a songwriter's interview article, actually, and he just kind of explained his songwriting process. And sometimes when you read those little things too, and it gives you insights, it does make you appreciate, even if you don't really like it or actively listen to it, you're like, okay, well, I can appreciate that, because, you know, to me, it's, I know people act like it's cool not to care. It's like, it's cool not to care what people think about you, but it is cool to care about what you're putting out there. That's kind of like what we said to, I guess, come full circle at the beginning of the podcast. Like, we don't just want to sit here and babble on about ourselves and all this other stuff. This is a music podcast, a community podcast. We talk about things like that. So just kind of the fact that he cares enough to craft his songs, and he makes pretty good. He says, hey, I just make pop music. You know, I'm not trying to do anything mind altering. I'm just here trying to make music for people to enjoy. So sometimes you want to consume music. Sometimes you want, like, and feel sad or you feel angry. And sometimes you just like, I just want to listen to something.
Yeah, I mean, which is, I had a conversation with the homie Jesse today, and we were talking about music and how certain music makes you feel a certain way, and that he's seeking, some of the songs he's looking for are those songs. He wants those. And I told him, we were just talking about it, I'm like, you know, everybody wants those songs. Everybody wants that song that makes you feel a certain way when you listen to it. And, you know, that's universal across the board. I can't speak for every artist or every band, but you always want somebody to be able to connect to the music that you're making. And that even if it reaches with just one person and one person appreciates it, I feel like whatever it may be, you're successful in doing so. Just like this podcast, do we have thousands of listeners? No, we do not.
We have some consistent listeners, though. I'm surprised. Well, yeah, thank you guys.
But, you know, we're doing this for us, and we're putting it out there for everybody else. And so, you know, it's, if we get feedback from, whether it be new people we meet or reviews and stuff like that, whatever. You know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, makes us really happy that, you know, what we're putting out is really important to us.
Yeah, even if you're going to leave, like, a nasty hating comment, hey, you know what? I created something that was able to make you feel something. So it's like, even if you're, like I said, you're listening to music because you feel sad and you want to make sure you're connecting and, like, that someone else feels that, or anger. And sometimes you're like, music is escapism. I don't want to think about my sad or mad feelings, so I'm going to put on Britney Spears or something that's just kind of like pop music. You know what I mean? It's like, not everything has to be this serious, but some people seek that out in moods, or some people, that's just how they connect to music all the time. Like you're saying, Jesse, that he really wants the music that makes him, and there's nothing wrong with that, that makes him feel something, and like, yeah, I really connect to that.
He wants those heaters.
He wants, and Jesse's known for his heaters. He definitely is. So, but like Andrew was saying, that just, you know, people that leave feedback.
Yeah, so yeah, leave us feedback. We're always welcome to that, or comments on our pictures, whatever, or our stories.
You know what I forgot to do?
Hmm.
I forgot to give the Instagram.
We'll do all that right now. Is there anything else you want to talk about in the meantime?
No, not really. I hope you guys enjoyed. I know I said I didn't want to babble at the beginning, but I hope you guys enjoyed our babbling. we outline subjects, but we don't beforehand. We try not to, like, we talk about things in conversation and passing that they naturally come up throughout the week and stuff, but we try not to structure too much conversation because we want it to free flow naturally. We don't want to sit here and seem like we're going, and there is times like our etiquette episode, it was a bullet point episode because we want to make sure
that was like our second episode.
But yeah. I mean, you want to make sure you cover all the things you want
to cover. Yeah, I mean, again, we kind of had to improv this episode, so it was something we were going to talk about eventually, but we weren't...
Everyone's like, we might as well jump it and get our feet wet. Happened to be perfect because that just happened to be the record I posted, and it kind of sparked the conversation from that. And our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Like we said, no, it's very long, but all the other Just Keep Spinnings were taken, so... gets right to the point. Just Keep Spinning Podcast is our Instagram or email. If you would love to email us, is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com with any comments or suggestions if you want to be on here, because we actually have had, I was shocked and I was like, oh, I'm so excited, we had somebody contact us saying like, hey, you know, I don't want to reveal who it is because I like to just kind of like I don't want to say play my cards close, but just make sure that I don't like just tell you guys everything, so when it comes up you guys are a little bit more excited about it too. A band reached out to us and they're gonna be on here next month, I believe, and just some other people really reach out to us with positive feedback saying they like the podcast, and some other things that we have that people contacted us that we kind of have in the works.
Yeah, we have something in the works. Hopefully that'll be popping up probably in the next couple of weeks. Not completely sure. We're going to go have some conversations about it and
have a little meeting,
have meetings about it and, you know, talk about it. But, you know, we're actively moving towards more stuff and trying to get this podcast out there more and get it known. So, you know, and obviously being involved in our community here in Arizona, that's our number one thing.
Yeah. And that's why we're always out at events and we're spinning at the cafe, because to kind of talk to people and see what really people in the community, whether they're new to the community or they've been in it or they were in it and they took a break and they're coming back, to see really what their opinion is out there and their vibe, and just so that we know what you guys kind of expect or want from us. And we just like creating content for you, basically, and hopefully we can create infinite content, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we're just trying to be out there. I mean, record collecting is something that's kind of, it's always been around, but it's getting mass popularity, even more so.
We talked about that with Brett.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just something that we can feel like we could keep connecting with people on, and we have connected with a lot of people with this, and so we're...
So many great people.
Yeah, so many awesome people. So, you know, but do you have any shout-outs?
I guess we already shouted out Lisa and Christine for coming through. You know, if you come through to the cafe, like we said, you want to spin while we're there, somebody else is there, hit us up. We can point you in the right direction so that you can do that. I'm pretty sure we have some other things, like we said, events planned where we're going to spin, and we have so many things in the works. Things just take time sometimes, but we want to, like we said, make sure that we're putting stuff out there that you guys are liking, that's not just kind of like whack and boring.
Shout out to Devin Ortiz for
oh my gosh, hitting us back. Oh my gosh.
I played one of his 45s today at the cafe. He hit us back. He was just basically thanking us for playing his music. You know, if we ever tag you and you're an artist and you hit us back, we will always shout you back out. I love we like that.
The interaction.
Because, you know, he doesn't know us personally, obviously, but, you know, he appreciates the fact that we're playing his music, and we play his music because we enjoy it. That's why we play music.
Yeah, we're not getting anything from it. And we've been listening to Diamond Ortiz thanks to Coco at Grand Avenue Records. We're always talking about Coco, I know. But he's so awesome. That's why we're always talking about him. But he's turned us on to a lot of the modern funk, because we like funk, but... We knew kind of there was maybe like a modern funk thing, but we just weren't really educated on it. And Coco really, because he's always forthcoming with information, he was like, hey, you know, you guys like this, you guys should get Diamond Ortiz, or you guys should get XL Middleton, which is the Mo Funk record label. They're always putting out good stuff. So if you're into funk, definitely check out Diamond Ortiz and XL Middleton and Moniqua, Mo Funk Records, you know, Funk Freaks. Everybody knows about the Funk Freaks, but... yeah, so just, you know, keep listening with open mind, to new artists, to new music.
That one more thing, one more person. Lasa Solhaken, Solfrito. He reposted us. Just wanted to give him a quick shout out.
Yeah, thank you. Lasa Solhaken is another podcast. It's more geared towards probably like it's East Coast based.
Yeah. They do a music segment with records, and then they do a segment on.
Sneaker culture is also a part of Last of the Soul. That's what it's called, Last of the Soul. It's S-O-L-E, like shoes. So really clever. I love puns. I'm one of those people that loves cheesy puns.
But yeah, shout out to them for just reposting us. We really appreciate that. But I'm good from that.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate every listen, every like, every comment. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or Podcasts. Audio Boom, the link is in our bio on the Just Keep Spinning podcast on our Instagram. Spread the word about us if you can. Even if you don't do any of that and you just listen, we greatly appreciate it. And thank you to Argentina for binge listening to us.
Yeah, they didn't get back to us this past week, but they binge listened to all our episodes. So shout out to them if they listen.
Yeah, and just anyone that's listening, we're so appreciative. We have so many stuff. So many other things in the works. So thank you so much. Just keep spinning and don't stop digging.
Thanks, guys.